Welcome to Listen To. This is Ted. The news was published on Wednesday, October 2nd. Today, we're joined by Eric and Kate. Let's dive into our topic. Our topic today is the long-term mortality impact of hurricanes. A recent study suggests that hurricanes cause significantly more deaths than previously thought. Let's dive into the details. Eric, what are your thoughts on this study's findings?
Well, Ted, I gotta say, I'm pretty skeptical about this one. The study's claiming hurricanes cause 7,000 to 11,000 excess deaths compared to the official 24 direct deaths. That's a whopping difference. We're talking about a jump from a couple dozen to thousands. It's like saying a paper cut could lead to an amputation. We need to pump the brakes and really scrutinize these extreme claims before we start ringing alarm bells.
Eric, you're totally missing the forest for the trees here. This study is groundbreaking stuff. It's showing us that hurricanes aren't just a one-and-done deal. They've got this nasty long-term impact on communities, especially the folks who are already struggling. We can't just
hold your horses, Kate. Let's take a step back and look at the numbers here. The study is estimating 3.6 to 5.2 million excess deaths from 1950 to 2015. That's more than traffic accidents or infectious diseases. It's like saying hurricanes are deadlier than the flu and car crashes combined. Doesn't that seem
It's not implausible, Eric. It's a wake-up call. These deaths aren't happening overnight. They're spread out over 15 years after a hurricane hits. We're talking about long-term health impacts, not just immediate casualties. It's like a slow-motion disaster that keeps unfolding long after the storm has passed.
Interesting points from both of you. Let's dig a little deeper into the methodology. How did the researchers arrive at these conclusions?
Well, Ted, they compared mortality data before and after hurricanes over a 20-year period. But here's the thing. Correlation doesn't always mean causation. It's like saying ice cream sales cause shark attacks because they both increase in summer. There could be a whole bunch of other factors at play here that we're not considering.
The researchers aren't amateurs, Eric. They spent years testing and retesting their results. They were stunned by the findings themselves. This isn't some half-baked study thrown together overnight. It's thorough, meticulous research. They've done their homework and then some. We can't just dismiss it because
doesn't fit. Come on. How can we possibly attribute deaths 15 years later to a hurricane? That's like blaming your bad hair day on a rainstorm from last year. It's a stretch, to say the least. We need to be more critical.
It's not a stretch, Eric. It's reality. Think about the long-term impacts. Damaged homes that never get properly fixed. Savings accounts drained dry. People forced to move away from their support systems. Not to mention the mental health toll. These things don't just magically disappear after the storm passes.
You both raise valid points. Let's talk about the specific impacts. The study mentions certain groups are more affected. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure, Ted. The study claims infants under one and black populations are at higher risk, but we need to tread carefully here. It's like trying to solve a Rubik's Cube blindfolded. There are so many factors to consider. We can't just jump to conclusions without looking at other socioeconomic factors that might be at play.
Eric, you're downplaying the racial disparity here, and that's not okay. The study clearly shows black people are at higher risk, even though more white people were exposed to storms. We can't sweep this inequality under the rug. It's like ignoring...
Let's put this in historical context. Can you think of any similar events that have had long-term health impacts?
Certainly, Ted. The Chernobyl disaster in 1986 springs to mind. It's the granddaddy of catastrophic events with long-lasting health consequences. We're talking about an incident that's still making waves in the health world decades later. It's like the Energizer Bunny of disasters. It just keeps going and going.
While Chernobyl is significant, I think the Dust Bowl of the 1930s is a more apt comparison here. It wasn't just one big bang like Chernobyl. It was a series of environmental disasters that had long-term health impacts on Americans. It's like comparing apples to oranges when we're really talking about a
the
fruit
Dust Bowl.
Salad of...
Come on, Kate. Chernobyl affected millions across Europe. We're still seeing its effects today, much like this hurricane study suggests. It's a textbook example of long-term health impacts. The Dust Bowl was bad, sure, but it's not in the same league.
Eric,
when
you're
it comes
not seeing
to...
the big picture here. The Dust Bowl lasted nearly a decade and affected 100 million acres across several states. We're talking about respiratory issues, malnutrition, and poverty that impacted generations. It's like a slow-motion hurricane that just kept on rolling. The parallels to our current discussion
Both events
are...
seem relevant. Can you explain how they relate to our hurricane discussion?
Well, Chernobyl, like hurricanes, had immediate casualties but also long-term health effects. We saw increased cancer rates decades later, similar to the 15-year impact period in this hurricane study. It's like a health time bomb that keeps ticking long after the initial explosion. This is why I think Chernobyl is such a relevant comparison.
The Dust Bowl, however, shows how environmental disasters can have cascading effects on health, economy, and society, just like hurricanes. It forced mass migrations and led to long-term health issues. It's not just about the immediate impact, but the ripple effects that can last for generations. The Dust Bowl reshaped American society, much like how this study suggests hurricanes are doing.
Interesting comparisons. How do you think these historical events can inform our approach to hurricane impacts?
Chernobyl taught us the importance of immediate and long-term disaster response. We can't just focus on the here and now. We need to think ahead. We need better systems to track and address health impacts years after a hurricane. It's like setting up a health surveillance network that keeps watch long after the storm has passed.
The Dust Bowl shows us that environmental disasters disproportionately affect vulnerable populations. We need policies that protect these groups in the aftermath of hurricanes. It's not just about immediate relief, but long-term support. We're talking about healthcare, housing, job opportunities, the whole nine yards.
We can't just throw money at the problem. We need evidence-based approaches, not knee-jerk reactions. It's like trying to fix a leaky roof by dumping water on it. It might look like we're doing something, but we're not solving the real issue. We need to be smart.
It's not about throwing money, Eric. It's about recognizing the long-term impacts and planning accordingly. We can't keep ignoring these vulnerable populations. It's like watching a slow-motion car crash and doing nothing to stop it. We need comprehensive, long-term strategies that address
the root causes. Let's look to the future. How do you think this study will impact hurricane preparedness and response?
I believe we'll see a more cautious approach. There will be increased focus on long-term health monitoring after hurricanes, but we shouldn't overreact based on one study. It's like adjusting your diet based on a single nutrition article. We need more data and context before making drastic changes.
Overreact. Eric, this study should revolutionize our approach. We need immediate policy changes to address these long-term health impacts, especially for vulnerable groups. It's like we've been treating a chronic illness with Band-Aids, and now we finally have a diagnosis.
Interesting perspectives. What specific changes do you foresee in disaster response strategies?
We might see extended health monitoring programs, but we need to balance this with cost effectiveness. We can't divert resources from immediate disaster relief. It's like robbing Peter to pay Paul. We need to ensure we're not sacrificing crucial short-term aid for long-term monitoring that might not be as effective as we hope.
We need comprehensive long-term support systems. This includes mental health services, financial assistance, and ongoing medical care for affected communities. It's not just about surviving the storm, it's about thriving afterward. We're talking about a complete overhaul of our disaster response playbook. We need to think big and
act. Kate, that's an enormous undertaking. Who's going to foot the bill for 15 years of support after every hurricane? It's like promising to pay someone's rent for the next decade and a half. We need to be realistic about
what we can
actually...
It's an investment in public health, Eric. The cost of inaction is far greater. 3.6 to 5.2 million lives, according to this study. We're talking about the equivalent of wiping out the entire population of Los Angeles. Can we really put a price tag on that? It's not just about dollars and cents.
Let's consider the broader implications. How might this change our understanding of climate change impacts?
It could lead to more accurate cost-benefit analyses of climate change mitigation efforts, but we need to be careful not to exaggerate the risks. It's like trying to predict the weather a year in advance. We can make educated guesses, but we shouldn't treat them as absolute certainties. We need a measured scientific approach.
Exaggerate? This study shows we've been grossly underestimating the human cost of climate change. It should be a catalyst for immediate, drastic action on climate change. We're not just talking about rising sea levels or hotter summers anymore. We're talking about millions of lives at stake. It's like
drastic action often leads to unintended consequences, Kate. We need a measured, scientific approach to address these issues. It's like performing surgery. You don't just rush in with a chainsaw. You need precision, careful planning, and a thorough understanding
of the... A measured approach? People are dying, Eric. We need urgent, comprehensive climate action now. Anything less is negligence. It's like watching a house burn down and debating whether to call the fire department. We don't have the luxury of time for endless debates. We need to act, and we need to
Thank you both for this enlightening discussion. It's clear that this study has significant implications for how we understand and respond to hurricanes and climate change. While there's disagreement on the approach, it's evident that further research and careful consideration of our strategies are necessary. This conversation highlights the complexity of the issue and the importance of continued dialogue. Thank you for tuning in to Listen 2.